What does Diane Lewis do for a living? Answer at the end of the episode.
I'm Kurt Hapley, and I just realized I'm not holding my microphone.
And I will call my new Italian fast casual eatery the Locale Calzone Zone.
You can trust me, because I don't care enough about you to lie.
Everything I do is the attitude of an award winner, because I've won an award.
I made my money the old-fashioned way. I got run over by Alexis!
Hello, welcome to Citizens of Pawnee, a Parks and Recreation podcast where I discuss anything and everything from character breakdowns to episode rewatches, as well as some other trivia and tidbits about the show. My name is Brian, and I'll be your host. This is episode number 100, being recorded Monday, December 11th, 2023, and today I'm going to be covering Season 3, Episode 15, The Bubble. If you'd like to contact the show, you can email citizensofpawnee@gmail.com. You can also follow and message the show on Instagram at citizensofpawneepodcast, as well as my other page at parksrecmemes. Just a reminder that this podcast will have full spoilers for the entire series. So what's going on, everyone? We made it. We got to 100 episodes. Took a long, lot of breaks in between there, but we finally did it. So thank you to everyone who is still listening and still contributes every once in a while. I do have an email, actually. Teresa from Germany reached out, and she said, "First of all, congrats on reaching 100 episodes. That's a huge deal. I think it's really impressive that you do this in your free time with such high quality and consistency. I would like to reply to the questions you mentioned at the end of last." That was the 96th episode, so she sent this in a few weeks back. I hope I remember them correctly. The first question was how and when I started watching Parks and Recreation. It was in July 2015. I had just graduated from high school and felt a bit sad about everything ending, so my best friend suggested that I should watch Parks and Rec to cheer me up. Did a great job cheering me up. I smiled and laughed a lot and forgot about my worries, and it's still my go-to show whenever I need cheering up. Yeah, I agree 100%. There's not... I hate to compare it to The Office, but I mean, like, I feel like... Yeah, and The Office was, like, a good show, too, but I feel like it wasn't as wholesome as Parks and Rec. And there's a lot of swearing in Parks and Rec. There's some adult themes, and there's, you know, but for the most part, I feel that this is a show that you could watch with probably like younger kids. I mean, it's about the same content as like The Office, but I think Parks and Rec just is more fun and it's a little more upbeat. And I just think it's got like a more positive message. Like, I don't know. I mean, they're both great shows, but yeah, I agree. Parks and Rec is a feel good show. So, yeah, it's a great one trying to cheer yourself up. Why am I listening to your podcast? Oh my God, I can't believe I asked you that. I'm sorry. Am I completely just begging for emails here? I came across your podcast through your @ParksRecMemes Instagram page. I was really intrigued by the title Citizens of Pawnee because they are one of my favorite elements of Parks and Rec. The YouTube video Citizens of Pawnee with a compilation of public forums, citizens visits to the Parks and Rec Department, and so on is one of my all-time favorite YouTube videos. I haven't seen that one, but I mean, I imagine, yeah, because I love the Citizens too. I try to include clips in every episode. I want to point out too one thing, actually. Teresa, thank you again. She sent me a clip on Instagram on the Citizens of Pawnee page there. She sent me a message because I was asking last episode, or was it last episode, when Andy and April got in a fight and Andy sold, yeah, it was last week's episode, when Andy got rid of his guitar, when he sold it to Sewage Joe. And then later on in the episode, or I'm sorry, they do like a quick shot of Andy just handing the guitar to Sewage Joe and him giving him money. And I always wondered, why is Kirk Fox in this episode? Like, why did they get him literally to just hand the guitar over and not say a word? Because they could have done that with anyone. Teresa sent me the blooper reel, or no, maybe it wasn't a blooper reel. It was deleted scenes, and told me what scene it was. And yes, there is a scene where it shows Andy actually talking to Sewage Joe in the first place. So they do expand on that scene. And Kirk Fox actually does have a speaking line or two in that, so it makes a little bit more sense. So again, Teresa, thank you for sending that. Back to your email. What I like most, what I like most about the show, I think you meant with show, Parks and Rec, but I already wrote about that in my first long email, so I figured I would write about what I like most about the show, as in Citizens of Pawnee, meaning this podcast. The first bullet point, your hatred for Tom Haverford. I love how you continuously point out that he sucks, which he obviously does. Hey, come on. You know, when you know, you know. I enjoy that you keep saying this is my favorite moment, this is the best, or other superlatives dozens of times, which kind of negates the usage of the superlatives, but it is very relatable. Hey, I'm sorry. Also, give me credit for reading that sentence without fucking it up. Come on. I mean, like, it's just great. It's stuff like it. There's too many to have a best list. I don't know. And then she also said, your reviews of TV shows and movies, you give excellent recommendations. Thanks again for introducing me to Superstore and Jury Duty. Congrats again. I'm looking forward to listening to the 100th episode. Greetings from Germany, Teresa. Teresa, thank you so much. As always, you're always reaching out on Instagram and emails and whatnot. And just, I love talking parks with you. It's awesome. Sorry, this 100th episode isn't, I don't have much planned for it. So it's nothing super special, but I hope you enjoy the review. All right, so let's just do some filler real quick.
Everything he's saying is nonsense and he's fooling them.
So quickly for filler, I just wanted to talk about two things. The first one is Monarch, Legacy of Monsters. That's the Godzilla show that's on Apple TV. I can't remember if I talked about this show or not. It's on episode 5 right now, and I'm getting very bored with this show, to be honest with you. I don't like really any of the characters. That's the problem with like this whole Godzilla universe. Like in the movies, like that came, not the brand new one, Godzilla Minus One. That's actually that's not part of the Legendary series, which is like 2014 Godzilla, and then there was King Kong Skull Island, and then there was Godzilla King of the Monsters, and then Godzilla vs. Kong, and this next one coming out, Godzilla X Kong, whatever, which I thought also meant verse, who knows. But anyway, the human characters in these movies fucking suck. They all suck. 2014, and like I feel like that one gets a pass just because Bryan Cranston was in it. He's not in the movie long enough for me to be like, yeah, you know what, there's great human characters in that. He's good. He's fine. You know, he's a great actor. But again, spoiler, this movie came out in 2014. He dies like 30 minutes into the movie and you're just like, what the fuck? So anyway, this TV show is no different. All the fucking human characters suck. Kurt Russell, who I love, he sucks. Or at least he's not doing anything fun. I mean, like, there's just, this show is like, I understand it would, and I hate to be so cynical, and maybe the show will get better, but like right now I'm just saying like I'm bored with it, and I knew this coming in that they weren't going to have like kaiju monster fights every episode, but it's like I'm getting bored of just seeing clips from the 2014 Godzilla movie with the bridge being attacked. The main girl in the movie, her name's Kate, or in the show, I'm sorry, her name's Kate. She is so unlikable. Like, at least the other people in the show, you're just like, okay, at least they don't, like, they're not, like, assholes or anything. She's an asshole. She sucks. Like, she totally sucks, and every time she's, like, she's a bad actor. I don't know. I'm still gonna watch the show because it's like, I wanna see what this is about. I mean, it's not to the point that I'm like, fuck this show, I hate it. I hate all the characters. I don't know. So anyway, Monarch Legacy of Monsters, check it out. I mean, if you like Godzilla and like, it still looks pretty good. I mean, like there's some money in it, but not enough. Cause there's like I think it's episode 3 or 4. They're like in the Alaskan mountains. And it's one of those things, again, I hate that so much when they're not filming on location and it's freezing out and you can't see people's breath. I hate that so much. It pisses me off. That was one of them. And it just in general didn't look good. So the other thing I wanted to talk about, Fargo, not the movie Fargo, the TV show Fargo on FX. So Fargo is a TV show. It actually, Alfra Melmack, when I was asking him if he watched it, he's like, yes, it's like my favorite show besides Better Call Saul. And I was like, that's actually a really good comparison as far as, because like Fargo is, so if you've never seen the movie, it takes place in, as Fargo, Minnesota, is it a real place, I guess, but Just one of the fun things about it is just like the accents, like they're all up in Minnesota. So they're just like, they have those kind of like that little twang to their voice. And the show is like, what's unique about it, it's kind of like American Horror Story, where every season is just a completely different story. It's like a new theme. But with American Horror Story, they use the same cast for the most part. They play different characters. With Fargo, I think every season is just like a brand new, completely new story, but it's like same writers, producers, all that good stuff. So season one right now, it's got a great cast. Billy Bob Thornton, Oliver Platt, of course, Kate Walsh. Like all these people, I'm going to think of Bob Odenkirk, speaking of Better Call Saul. But Colin Hanks. Yeah, great cast. But like, again, there's a lot of dialogue in this show. There's just so much. And it's not that I'm like, come on, I need more action. But like a lot of it is pointless. And a lot of it just goes on for so long, like unnecessary conversations. And it's just like, hey, how's it going? Good. Good. How about you? Oh, good, 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 good. Oh, okay, cool. I mean, like you get the gist of it, but I am enjoying the show for the most part. And to be honest with you though, I'm almost done with season one and I'm not liking Billy Bob Thornton. Like he's a great actor, but I hate his character. He's just like, I don't know. It's like, he is a fucking evil person, an evil character, but just like, he's very like a sociopath almost. Like he just, nothing really phases him. And it like really bugs me, but also just like his haircut. Speaking of haircuts, remember last week I talked about my stupid haircut. Shug, if you're listening, thanks again for calling me out at work in front of everyone. Yeah, your hair does look stupid. I know it was for like a bit for the show, but it was still hilarious. So yeah, still haven't gotten that haircut. I will maybe someday, but for right now, it's winter time, so I'm going to let it grow. Nah, that's bullshit. I'm not going to let it grow. I'll probably get it cut like tomorrow or something. Who knows? But anyway, yeah, Fargo season one, at least. It's pretty good. Martin Freeman is in it as well. He is Bilbo in the Hobbit series. Yeah, plays young Bilbo. So anyway, that's all I got for filler. Let's talk about Parks and Rec. Season 3, episode 15, The Bubble. Directed by Matt Sohn, written by Greg Levine and Brian Rowe. Greg Levine, if you listen to Parks and Recollection, he's the other guy. That's not Jim O'Hare, so that's why that name might sound familiar. He is also Jewish Greg in the episode New Slogan in season 5 or 6, one of the two. Who knows? Anyway, cold open. We start off in City Hall as Ann Perkins is here for the first day of her new job in the public health department. The room is completely covered in balloons as Leslie introduces her. But Leslie's not alone. We see that April, Andy, and Tom are amongst the balloons. Oh, also Anne's new office mate, Stuart, who Leslie says is kind of a grouch. We meet Stuart as he pops his head out to say, "Get these fucking balloons out of here." It's awesome. And Anne's just like, "Nice to meet you, Stuart." It's great. All right, so we begin the episode with Leslie and Ben hot off their first kiss, if you'll remember from last week's episode, Road Trip. They're walking and talking in the hallway, making an agreement to at some point in the day make out again. They're being extra cautious, though, even to the point that when Ben says he has a meeting with Marlene Griggs Knope, who is Leslie's mom, if you'll recall, and asks Leslie if she knows who she is, Leslie says no. She even says that she's a Filipino woman, and she says a lot of people ask that question and mix them up, but Leslie clearly does not want Ben to know who her mom is, so... she heads over to Anne's new office for some advice, and Anne basically tells her that she didn't think about all the ramifications and problems that could come with this scandal of her dating Ben. So, yeah, Anne is always, like, super, supportive of Leslie, but here she's actually being kind of critical. She's telling her, like, listen, like, you guys could get in a lot of trouble for this, and you didn't really think this through, you know, so... I kind of like that Anne actually kind of gives her the business instead. We get a great line, though, here when in Anne's office, like I said, Leslie and Anne are talking. Then all of a sudden that guy Stuart comes walking. And I don't think we ever see Stuart again, even though he does kind of look like the guy Bill Haggerty, who is like for the Pawnee Historical Society. But anyway, yeah, he walks in and Leslie's just like, Stuart, please, could you give us like 45 minutes? It's so good. And he's just like, well, this is my office too. And she's like, Stuart, get out. It's awesome. And she's just kind of like, he turns around and walks out. And just the way that Leslie's like, God, that guy was rude. Like, she doesn't care at all that, like, yeah, this is, and it's not like, Stuart, can you come back in 5 minutes? 45 minutes, she told him to come back. It's awesome. All right. Now we're in the conference room where Chris is trying a little bit of a shakeup. Jerry will now be the head of public relations. April will now be the entire office's assistant, not just Ron's. Tom and Andy will now be digitizing all of the public records on the fourth floor. If you remember, the fourth floor is kind of like a gross back alley, like, just, it's disgusting. It's like where divorce court is. It's like you see like all the like drug dealers and everyone, like people constantly being like arrested walking down the hallways and stuff. So Tom's pissed off because he says he hates it up there, and that last time he was up there he saw someone buying crystal meth out of a vending machine. Andy's excited though, because actually when Chris tells Tom this, and Tom's like, no, I don't want to go to the fourth floor, he's like, well, you won't be alone. You're taking Andy with you. So Andy obviously isn't paying attention, but he's excited. He's like, Andy, you are no longer anyone's shoeshine boy for 3 weeks. So he's just going to help Tom do this for a couple weeks, and then he'll go back to shoeshining. We cut over to Ben's office, where Leslie rushes in and tells him that Marlene is her mom. She makes Ben nervous, though, telling him her mom makes snap judgments about people and that she's kind of a bully. Leslie nervously spills coffee all over Ben's shirt, too, just as he goes to meet Marlene. One of the best running jokes, Nervous Ben.
Hello, I'm Mr. Ben White.
Looks like you got some shirt on your coffee.
Yeah, you know what happened? I spilled it, but you know how it goes.
Fun anecdote. The county school district needs 4 new school buses. I'm being stonewalled by the board, and I'm hoping your office can help us out.
Okay.
Really? That's it?
Yeah, actually, no. It's probably not possible.
Then I'm confused, Ben, because you just told me it was 5 seconds ago.
So now we're back to the Parks Department. Ron comes walking in to an odd-looking circular desk with a chair in the middle. Chris tells him that this is his new desk, and since it's circular, Ron can swivel anyway, 360 degrees, and he'll be more accessible than ever. He also says, so Ron's like, well, what about like my office where the, you know, and Chris says they're going to turn his office into like a waiting room. And this, like, Chris isn't like malicious or anything in this episode, but I don't really like him in this episode. One, because he just like is conflict for our characters, I guess. But it seems in this one, like Chris is really just like trying to show like his power. Like, I'm going to shake things up for no reason. And it's like, you know, Ron, I'll get to it later, but like Ron kind of calls him out on it. And it's like, dude, everything you're doing is a big fucking mistake, you know? So it's just like, but Ron loves it at first because it's like, yeah, or he loved it when it was like going to cause chaos. But now that he has to like be a part of this, he hates it. So we go back up to the fourth floor. We get some good visuals, like just out of order signs everywhere, like cracked walls, things like this, you know, exposed brick. There's even a woman walking down the hallway, like holding her stomach. So it just like gives you an impression that it's just like not sanitary, not good up there, you know, like you would walk in and immediately just like, ugh, like kind of like your stomach would start hurting. So waiting, though, on the fourth floor for Tom and Andy is Ethel Biebers. She's the crotchety court stenographer that we'll see in 11 episodes. Actually, she's already been in one, so this is, so we'll see like 9 more, I guess. She has like a mostly who cares attitude about everything, but at least she does her job. She is played by the late Helen Slayton Hughes. Yeah, she passed away within the last year. I did an episode on her. I covered her for the Citizens of Pawnee, but yeah, rest in peace, Helen Slayton Hughes. Okay, so she brings them to an old disheveled file room and says, try not to touch anything because this is still technically a crime scene. Tom's miserable, of course, but Andy is happy-go-lucky, as he always is. All right, so back to Leslie and Ben. Ben needs some clarity from Leslie about what just happened with her mom and why she lied. Leslie says that she lied because if she introduced Ben to her mom instead of Marlene Griggs Knope, then it seems too real, and she's still worried about getting caught by Chris. So at first, I was a little confused by her wording, but it, like, makes a little more sense to me. And it probably makes sense to everyone. Maybe I'm just an idiot. But, yeah, she just feels like Because obviously in any relationship, when your significant other meets your parents or like your family, whatever, I mean, like, it's a big deal. So for Leslie to already, like, you know, just be kind of like caught off guard, and it's just like, hey, I'm going to meet your mom today. So Leslie didn't, you know, she didn't want it to be like, oh my God, like, it's this serious. So to her, it was still just like, oh no, I don't even know who she is. Don't worry about it. So it's like, you can still meet this woman, but you're not going to meet my mom yet. So now Leslie's actually, because like when she talked to Anne earlier, Anne also gave her some good points about, you know, like, dude, you should just tell Ben. So Ben understands, though. He does tell Leslie, though, that the meeting with her mom didn't go well. Leslie says that she'll talk to her mom and see if she can get any feelers, like to kind of see like what her mom thought about Ben. So it's awesome because she's just like, Ben, don't worry, my mom's going to love you. And then we just get like a smash cut right to Marlene's office. And she's just like, oh my God, I totally love him. And Leslie's like super happy. And she's like, he's such a pushover. He's like a goofy, spineless jellyfish. And it's just so funny. She's like, but what an odd guy. Because like, even, you know, like what you heard, obviously from the clip earlier, but Ben talks about how at one point he just took his shoes off and held them in his hands for like, I don't know, 30 seconds. I would have loved to see that. All right. So now we go back to Ben's office. He tells Leslie that he is afraid now that word will spread about him caving to Marlene's demands. Just then, Ben's secretary brings him a request from the education department for 10 new school buses. So if you'll recall, Marlene asked for only 4 earlier, but now that like word's gotten out that Ben's kind of a pussy, she's like, hey, hell yeah, I'm going to go for 10. Why not? So Ben decides that he's going to have another meeting with Marlene, but that Leslie's going to school him on Marlene's interest and other things he needs to know about her. Back to the Parks Department, where it's gotten a bit chaotic, we see one of the best citizens of Pawnee. It's Gretel! She's the older woman who doesn't follow instructions very... I know that's very vague, but, like, that's pretty much what she's always... She's like... All right, so she doesn't follow instructions, and then she complains about the repercussions. So, like, we saw her last season at a town hall meeting, of course. Like, we'll see, like, way down the road, she gets pissed off because there's too many slugs on the sidewalk in front of her house. And then when, like, Leslie and April show up to take care of the problem, like, which they're not going to kill the slugs. They're actually just like spraying, or they put coffee grounds down. So it's like a humane way to get the slugs to go away. And when Gretel comes back home and Leslie tells her, she's like, I didn't want all of them gone. I just want some of them gone. But anyway, so in this episode, she's in the office because she drank from a sprinkler that said not to drink from. So she made lemonade with it, and now she has an infection. And it's just like, it's such a great visual gag here because of this circle desk that Ron's sitting in. So right when she walks in, Ron already is like swiveling away from her. So she just keeps walking around the circle desk trying to talk to him. And he's like, you know, like, he's ahead of her every step of the way, you know, but like, yeah, he's not making eye contact with her. And it's just, sir, are you listening to me? And she's like following him around, and it's so good. And like, one of the funniest parts about it is at the end, when right before it cuts to the next scene, she's like, sir, are you aware that your water is contaminated? Just like the way she says it, it's, you got to go back and watch it. It's great. All right, so back over to Leslie and Ben. Leslie schools him on how to act around her mom.
Okay, you need to be strong, powerful, decisive. This is not a meeting. It's a battle. Normal meeting rules do not apply. I'll be my mom, and I'm going to be very harsh with you. And it's only because I like you a lot.
Okay.
Go!
Hello.
Wrong.
What?
No preambles, no introductions. Just walk in and start talking.
I'd like to discuss the new school bus.
I'd like to discuss your rhyming, Dr. Seuss, and you should be sitting by now.
What?
Just walk in and take a seat. Is the sound in dumb. That's what she says to people. And now you've crossed your legs like a woman.
God, okay, should we just start over?
No, we need to put a pin in this. Here is a list of my mother's top 100 favorite conversation topics, starting with Persian rugs, ending with Daniel Craig. You have 10 minutes to memorize it.
I just love how well Leslie knows her mom. And you find out actually throughout the series, she's like pretty much like this with all of her friends and family and stuff. So it's pretty great. It can be a little intrusive though. Back up to the fourth floor, April visits Tom and Andy. Suddenly a man walks in. This guy is actually played by Parks and Rec writer Dana Gould. And he asks if this is Mort Jansen's office. Andy says it's not. And this dude, because I have to do one of the best physical comedy moments in the show happens because this dude, after he asks them if this is Mort Jansen's office and Andy says, no, it is not. This guy grabs a coffee pot, you know, from like the, well, there's a coffee maker right over there. Pours the coffee out. Actually, I don't even know if this coffee pot is on, to be honest with you. It might even be like a better visual gross gag if like this coffee's just been in this pot for God knows how long. But anyway, he takes the pot. He doesn't say anything. He pours it out and then he just smashes the pot against the wall, like still holding on to the handle, just boom. And it is like the way that like Tom's face versus Andy's face, because like Andy's like, whoa. And Tom is fucking terrified. And April also, though, she's kind of like Andy. I mean, like, she's more just like, oh, my God. So anyway, this dude just like, he smashes this pot. And then he's like, tell Mort, I said, your move. Which is great because it's like, again, they said this isn't Mort Jansen's office. And also, this guy expects them to know who he is. He's like, just tell him I said your move. So it's like, eh. So like I said, Tom's terrified. April loves it. Andy loves it. Tom... He comes up with a different idea to try to get himself out of fourth floor duty. He's going to try to sweet talk Ethel Beavers, thinking it will get him out of there. However, everything just goes like right over her head. He's just like, oh, my God, you know, like, are you, I don't know, says a bunch of dumb shit. And it's just like she takes everything literally, you know. Back to the Parks Department. Donna, who is using like this weird ergonomically designed keyboard, it's like, it looks like a table almost. So it looks like two, like, I guess you put it in front of you and you almost hold it like a joystick, but it's like a keyboard. I don't know if these things are real or not. I don't know. Cause Parks came up with a lot of ideas, but they also called a lot of things before they happened. So maybe it is. But anyway, Donna's just pissed off. She's had enough because she can't type with this stupid thing that Chris is like making her use. So she tells Ron that he needs to stand up to Chris and end all these unnecessary changes. Another great moment here where Ron can already tell that Donna's just coming up to bitch about something. So she walks up and he swivels away and she's just like, you did not swivel away from here. And then he just like, without saying anything, just swivels right back. Cause he's just like, yeah, I probably shouldn't have done that. All right. So, later on, Leslie visits with her mom, and just as she instructed Ben to do, he just comes walking in. It's awesome. Like, he walks right past Leslie and Marlene, and he just starts talking. His confidence level is now at 100%, and he is not fucking around. He's calling her out for asking for more buses after he told her no. Here is a little more of that.
You know what? It's just not possible. And don't even bother trying to outflank me either, because you will fail.
Where did all this confidence come from all of a sudden?
Hey, guys, come on, let's relax.
You know, Miss Griggs, nope.
Marlene.
There's probably a compromise here.
Compromise is usually a sign of weakness.
Yes, it is, according to Andrew Carnegie. But your demands remind me of a different quote from the great Bill Watterson. You need a lobotomy, I'll get a saw.
I love Calvin and Hobbes.
Me too.
I gotta say, this is some of my best work. This could not have gone better. They are really hitting it off. Thank God. Crisis averted.
This scene is just, it's so good because like while Ben is doing this, you're seeing the faces that Marlene is making, but like Leslie, like Marlene's making these faces like, oh my God, like she's shocked. Leslie is making smiling faces like, oh my God, is he good? So then, you know, at the end of that clip there where Leslie is doing the talking head, she's talking to us, obviously. In the background, you see Marlene getting real close to Ben, and then she starts rubbing his knee. So it's just like, ooh, and then, you know, and of course, like when Leslie's just, oh, hey, crisis averted, everything's perfect. This is happening right behind her and she doesn't see it. So Ben immediately like kind of reverts back to his awkward form and uncomfortably leaves the office with Leslie. We quickly cut back to the fourth floor where Ethel Beavers and her friend Muriel, I don't think we see this woman again, but her name's Muriel. The two of them kind of like make fun of Tom. They just like, they love April and Andy. You know, it's just like, oh, you two are so cute. And then Tom's like just in the corner pouting about something. So they just kind of start giving him shit too. And like Ethel Beavers even clowns him when he goes to like grab some papers from her and she just like throws them on the floor. It's awesome. And he's just like, stop it, Muriel. Stop it, Ethel. not a good Tom episode. Tom, I can't really be like, oh, Tom's an asshole in this one. It's like, yeah, he whines a lot, but it's like, they didn't really give him much to do. So then we quickly cut back to Leslie and Ben, and he tells her what happened. It's really funny, actually, because Leslie's like, Ben, because she's very confused by this. It's like, she's in love with Ben, but it's like, I mean, this is my mom. You know, it's like, did this really happen? So she believes Ben, but when she's like, I hate to ask this, but were you asking for it? You know, he's like, no. And she's like, what were you wearing? He's like, I was wearing this. This is when she says, were you asking for it? It's awesome. All right. So now we cut back over to Ron, who, while observing the office, he's just like looking around at it, and he can see like Donna having problems with the keyboard. Jerry's having a meeting and he's just like completely fucking everything up. April's just like, actually, April, I think, is still on the fourth floor. But anyway, so Ron goes into Chris's office and he makes some really good points about why the shakeup is a bad idea. He says that Tom only performs well with an audience, so putting him on the fourth floor is a complete waste of his talents because he doesn't have anyone to impress up there. And then he says April hates everyone, so she can't be everyone's assistant. And then he says Jerry's the worst person to put in charge of public relations because he's terrible in front of others and he basically shrivels up if you shine a light on him. Despite these great points, though, Chris still won't budge until Ron says he has a compromise. More on that coming up. Back with Leslie and Ben. Ben tries to explain to Leslie that he says, yes, it was harmless, but he was still a little confused. Finally, Ben just like storms into Marlene's office because this is actually Leslie's doing her. She does this in the episode Ben's Parents in season 5 when they meet for the first time, when Leslie's like, oh, you know, everything's perfect. It's fine. Whatever, whatever. We're going to make this work out. And then like as the episode goes on more, she's the one that's like, is it her? Maybe it's Ben. But it's similar. Like the ones trying to like just buy a cab. I think it is Leslie. Just get a cab and like get them the hell out of there. So that's kind of what she's thinking about now. She's like, maybe we'll just never see my mom again. We'll just go da da da. So Ben's like, fuck this, you know. And he's just like, so he storms into her office. He tells her that Leslie and him are dating, and then he basically just comes out and says, he's like, so when you touched my leg, da 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 da, I assume you're not going to tell anyone we're dating because you know your daughter could lose her job. Da 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 da. So Marlene is just dumbfounded for a second, and then she just starts cracking up. She's just like, oh my God, this is hilarious, huh? Four buses. And Ben's just immediately like, two. So I love that exchange there also, because you could tell Marlene was probably very embarrassed, and just like, that's why she laughed it off so hard. But then she immediately went back into like her tactic of just like, hey, maybe I caught Ben at a vulnerable moment. I want those four buses. And he's like, you can have two. And it's just awesome how quickly she's just like, deal. So they agree, Ben shakes her hand and then he takes off, and Leslie tells her mom to keep her hands to herself after, Marlene's like, I like this one. All right. Back to Tom and Andy, where Tom contemplates whether or not he wants to still work for the government. So it shows him looking at a job website called HoosierCareer.com, which I got to call back to HoosierMate.com in the episode Soulmate, which is, I don't know, a few episodes ago. But I just love, it must be the same. Almost like, God, those, like the new medicine hymns and hers, like they just do everything. It like reminds me of like the Umbrella Academy from, Raccoon City from Resident Evil, where it's just like, they just manufacture all pharmaceuticals. So I just love, yeah, this site, HoosierCareer.com, that goes along with HoosierMate.com. All right, we see that everything is back to normal with the Parks Department. Well, except one thing. Ron is still in that circular desk. So apparently the agreement was that he's going to stay in the desk for 1 week and everyone else can go back. So this is what I talked about earlier with why I don't really like Chris in this episode, because this whole thing seemed 100% pointless. Like, why did Chris even have to do this? Again, this was all just for Chris to be like, hey, look what I can do, you know, and it turned out to be a terrible idea. So you were wrong, Traeger. Suck it. All right. So then we get the tag of the episode. All right. I have to. And I don't think I've ever said this for a tag, because I know I always say, oh, this is one of my favorite cold opens, or this is one of my favorite, you know, like jokes or physical jokes, which I said a couple times. All right. So here we go. I'm going to try to like tell, I don't want to speed through this because it's hilarious. And anyone who maybe hasn't seen this, you have to like understand. All right. So we cut back over to the shoe shine stand. However, Andy is actually sitting in the chair getting his shoe shined. And I actually had to check to make sure that he actually had, he didn't have his New Balance shoes on, which he always has, because that would have been so much funnier if those were getting shined. However, he actually is wearing like leather dress shoes for whatever reason. I guess he's working with Tom, so maybe he's trying to dress up. Andy is kind of like talking to this guy, and we've never seen this guy. I don't think we see him again, but he's telling him, he's like, hey, man, you got to do a little bit of a better job. You know, he's like just telling him things like, hey, I wasn't good when I started. And if I come back in a couple weeks and all my customers are gone, I'm going to be really pissed off. So then he's just like, all right, he's like, here, buddy, let me show you how to do it. So he switches spots with this kid. I'm just saying kid. I mean, he looks like he's probably like 30, but either way. So the guy switches spots with Andy. So now Andy is on the ground, and Andy's like, you can tell Andy's just gotten better at shining shoes. He's got like a nice technique. He's kind of like got a bored look on his face because it's like, yeah, he's been doing this long enough and he's really good at it. But he's still talking to the guy whose shoes he's now shining, like this guy is still shining his shoes. And he's like, you know, the biggest thing, you don't want to think about it and everything. And then the best part, best fucking part about this. So Andy's done shining this guy's shoes, stands up, the guy stands up too, and he's like, wow, man, thanks a lot. And Andy's just like, no problem. And then Andy pulls like $20 out of his pocket and hands it to the kid. So clearly he was gonna tip the kid this much money anyway. However, in this situation, Andy's the one who did the work and then tipped the guy. So it's so fucking funny, especially because he hands the money to the guy and then the guy's just like, whoa, thanks, dude. And Andy's like, you got it. And then he looks at the camera, he's like, what a moron. It's, oh my god, it's so good. It is just, like I said, one of my favorites. And Chris Pratt just doing stupid Andy is just so good. He's just like, what a moron. All right, so this episode is sitting at an 8.1 on IMDb. Here's my thoughts. The Tom Andy story was kind of weak, like I said, but there's some great scenes, especially with like the angry coffee pot guy, which reminded me of, what was it, last episode or two episodes ago when Ron busted the coffee pot for the cold open, that great one. All right. Yeah, the tag with Andy getting his shoes shine that I just talked about. Wow, my tenses are off. Tom moving on from the Parks Department. We saw that at the end of the episode, and I talked about that. He's on HoosierCareer.com. Spoiler, yes, he will be moving on. He will come back, but he will be gone for a little bit. Anne is only in the cold open of this episode. I'm seeing she's not, I don't know what else she was doing maybe at this time, but she's kind of missing episodes and doesn't have really big parts. I think I talked about that. But yeah, either way, she's in the cold open, and then she's like in the very beginning scene, and then we don't see her again. Chris being a hard ass for no reason bugs me, like I talked about. Everything with awkward Ben and Marlene is fantastic. Also, Leslie acting like her mom is great. So, like, yeah, that part when Ben is like finally being a hard ass back, and Leslie is like, her and Marlene are making like the same, like they're turning their head the same way and everything. It's just, yeah, it's a really good part. You got to check that out. And then it's also the introduction to Ethel Beavers. But that is going to wrap up this episode. If you'd like to contact the show, citizensofpawnee@gmail.com is how you can do that. You can also like and follow on Instagram @citizensofpawneepodcast and @parksrecmemes. Next week, I'm going to be covering season 3, episode 16. It's the finale. Lil Sebastian. Thank you for listening to Citizens of Pawnee, a Parks and Recreation podcast. My name is Brian. I'll see you next Tuesday. Diane Lewis is a middle school vice principal.